It is a three-hour program. That is hour number one. We move into a second hour. It's going to be a good hour. Welcome back. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night now. I am Jim Rome. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. So it's going to be a great hour because I've got Anthony Firkser, Titans tight end, coming up next segment, in fact. Top of hour number three, the beef segment. So I want you to load that thing up. What do you have a beef on? We only do it once a week. I got to get it in. You're kind of off to a slow start. You can beef on the phones, 1-800-636-8686. Maybe you're new to the program. Maybe you're not sure whether or not you like it. Maybe you know you don't like it. Maybe you're still trying to wait on me. Maybe you know you don't like me. Whatever. It's all good. It's fine, whatever it is. Just beef. Call the beef. Everybody's got a beef. There's like maybe one millionth of the world that does not have a beef. You know, the real outliers in the world where everything is great. The rest of you, I know you have beef. Bring it to me. I'm here for it. Top of hour three. Call with a beef. Tweet with a beef. Email with a beef. Also in hour number three, I talk hockey. I talk it as much as I can. I love the NHL. Nashville Predators head coach John Hines joins me. Really quickly, let me do some reaction before I get to another topic. At Miss Marlena, War Lady Clones. Here's one. She writes, so, Melo isn't or wasn't a stopper? He's a stopper, Rome. A ball stopper. Come on, Jimmy. You know better. He's gotten better. He moves the ball some. War Lady Clones. Paulie in Indy. Rambis advising the Lakers would be like you allowing Parody Larry to give input on daily programming. I think you're right. It's about the same thing. And then this guy goes with getting rid of Vogel will fix the Lakers' problems. Sincerely, Nicole Brown Simpson putting a no trespasser sign on her front gate. Stephen Phoenix. I think after a quarter of a century, I can effectively and accurately say, A, there are no jokes that have been made about that double decapitation that are amusing or fresh or appropriate. And certainly no joke that hasn't already been made. Stop trying. That included. Dear Frank Vogel, here's a bunch of expired food. Make us a gourmet meal. Signed, Lakers brass. Good point. Chad from Orlando. You know, that whole, yeah, but if I'm going to be the chef, I want to shop for the ingredients. Yeah, I mean, I think Frank's not even saying that. But what Frank's saying is, don't give me a bunch of cat food and dog food and expect me to serve it to humans. Don't give me a bunch of spam and expect me to turn that into Thanksgiving dinner. Jake in Buffalo is in. Jimmy, I think as fathers, we all just hope to see our daughters in Twitter porn someday.
What's going on, man?
Well, I don't know, man. What is going on? What's going on? Why is the coach of an NBA franchise liking porn on Twitter? Check that. He may not have even liked it on Twitter, but clearly he was viewing it on Twitter. And hence the reason why, and I'm not anti-porn for those of you that love porn. I'm anti-porn on Twitter for that very reason. How many times have you hit like on something that you didn't mean to hit like on? How many times have you hit retweet on something that you didn't mean to hit retweet on? Well, if it's apt to happen, and it is, maybe you don't view things that you would never, ever want to like. Because you lose either way. Either you did it and you meant it, or you did it and you didn't mean it, but clearly you were viewing it. Hey, Rome Slice, we hate Twitter porn. It doesn't have a delete browsing history button. Regards, husbands. Geoff and Lincoln. Finally, Geoff, something you're an authority on. You talk every single day on this program like you're an authority on something. And you never are, but now we're getting somewhere. This guy's been coming in. No Cal Vic. He writes, you mean this? Tom Brady is so old that when he won his first Super Bowl, there was only one multiple-time smack-off winner, and that was Mike Ditola with two? I didn't say that, but that's exactly the type of thing that I'm sick of. Sick of. Beauregard's butler. Jim, the media really needs to stop making a big deal about Brady's age. Signed, Andy Pettit's intense stare.
For the love of God, would you networks please curtail the amount of extreme close-ups on one Andrew Pettit? I watched the playoffs last year. It's like every time this guy started, the camera crew shot the game like it's some kind of David Lynch movie with the camera zoomed 4 inches from Pettit's nostrils. It's like 36 times in a 7-inning span you hear the announcer remark on the intense stare of Andy. Andy in his zone of concentration. Andy with the eyes of a competitor. No, no, no. Let me help the novice baseball fan that only tunes in for the playoffs, okay? Andy Pettit pitches with his mouth agape, and he has the eyes of a goat, okay? I give him credit. He's a mean lefty. He's got a wicked sinker. But just because he glares at Posada like he's trying to burn a hole through Jorge's eyebrows with his mind doesn't necessarily mean he's any more focused than the other 8 a-holes wearing pinstripes on the field.
Like, if that call were made today, that would be one of the better calls you could ever hear on this show or any other show. But that call was not made today. That call was made back in the day when Andrew Pettit had his mouth agape and the eyes of a goat and was trying to burn a hole through Jorge's eyebrows. That phone call, this blows my mind. That phone call was made 20 years ago on this show. What's more incredible? I've done it this long, or that phone call, a quality call like that, was made 20 years ago and it holds up. There are calls made 20 days ago that would never be as good as that phone call made 20 years ago. A legendary call. And it's so true. Do you remember that back then? Back then, whenever Andy Pettit took the mound, that's all we ever heard. Look at Andy. Look at the stare. Look at the intense glare. The only thing more annoying than that was that whole rap about the only reason he loaded up on PEDs was because he so badly wanted to come back as quickly as he could to rejoin the fight with his teammates. And people actually bought that bullcrap too. Like why were other people doing it and they were the worst guys ever and cheaters, but he did it, but was a great guy because it was so selfless and altruistic that he just wanted to rejoin the fight. Right. That's why they all did it, because it enabled them to come back quicker. That was like one of the worst narratives ever, that this guy was somehow deified as somebody who was so altruistic. Oh, he just wants to come back. He just wants to rejoin the fight with his teammates. Yeah, but what about the other guys doing it? Oh, cheaters. Cheaters. Selfish cheaters, stat mongers, liars, criminals. Oh, not Andrew. Oh, no, Andrew just wants to rejoin the fight. In fact, this guy should be MVP for his commitment. Garbage.
Garbage.
And it's true, you couldn't watch a game. And he was right. Jim in Fall River was right. He was a mean lefty. He was competitive. But you couldn't watch a single game. A single game without somebody saying, without some talking head saying, oh, look at the intense glare. Romy's my homie. Abigail's in. Quote, porn is amazing. Sign Pervin. Well, I thought she was going to say porn is amazing. Nope. Sign Pervin. It is hump day. It is hump day.
Hump day.
All right, so back to this point that we're getting into. Let me just start the thought on this anyway. It is Wednesday, and the Rams and the Bucks are going to play on Sunday. So let me just address this during this hump day. Right here, right now. It's got to stop. This trend in the sports media, the trend is trying to find new and different ways to say that Tom Brady is old. Let me give an example in the latest offender. This tweet from the SportsCenter account, quote, Tom Brady is older than every opposing NFC head coach still in the playoffs. End of tweet. Yeah, and I'm not rushing in to bury ESPN or SportsCenter. They're just part of this incredibly stupid trend. We get it. Tom Brady is old. Very, very old. He's been very, very old for a very long time. And yet people are still thumbing out this garbage like it's some sort of new information.
Garbage.
Like it's fresh. Like it sets them apart somehow. Like it's a hot reactionary take. He's older than the coaches left in the NFC. And what the hell is the piece of information there that's new? And what does that tell us? He's older than the other three remaining NFC head coaches who aren't Bruce Arians. The guy who is older than him. And it's framed as an SC fact. And it is technically a fact. It's just not new or interesting. And it sure as hell doesn't warrant a caption that reads, "Now this is remarkable," with the shocked and scared emoji. All right? It's not remarkable. It's not shocking. It's not scary. There is no new way that you can present Tom Brady's age to me that's going to make me say, "Oh, damn, this guy's really old, and I didn't even know it." Because I know he's old, and I've known for years that he's old, and that hasn't changed. Jerome Bettis is from Detroit. Cannot believe how lame these fat facts are. Brady Quinn and A.J. Hawk think this whole genre is tired. Tom Brady is old, yet water is wet. Ritt is bald. I mean, tell me something I don't know. Does any of this need to be tweeted out? He was the oldest player in the league this year. He will be the oldest player in the league next year. He's really old. We get it. Everybody knows he's old. He's old as hell. The only thing older than Brady is people telling me that he's really old and still really good. Yeah, I get it. He's a very old man who's still very good at football. We all know. Anybody who's ever watched a football game already knows. So why do people keep trying to reinvent the wheel on this, especially when Brady is old enough to have been there for the actual invention of the wheel? Hey-o! Old man invented fire. I get it. He's not just the oldest person in football. He's the oldest damn dude on the planet. And he's still playing football. And it's still working out pretty well for him in the Bucs, man. Tell me something I don't already know. Stop telling me Brady is as old as bleep. That take is as old as bleep. And annoying as bleep. I'll tell you what. I will pay for and rock his old man recovery pajamas on camera on this show. I will commit to that diet of crap that he eats with no cheat days. If you can promise me that we can go between now and this weekend's game without somebody trying to come up with some new fresh new way to tell me that TB44 is older than dirt, I will. I'll buy those pajamas. I'll wear them on air. I will, because I know I won't have to, because there's some idiot who's got their face in their lapper, working up some lame graphic to remind us of just how old this dude really is, if we didn't already know. For the love of God, networks.
For the love of God.
Stop telling us that there's got to be other matchups within the matchup. Other things about that game that you can tell me other than, "Oh, this is shocking. This just in, Tom Brady is older than every other coach in the NFC, except for one." God. Right. He's TB44. He's old. Do better. Try harder. Do better. Try harder. Tell me something I don't already know. No Cal Vic. Unfortunately, No Cal Vic is on a heater, and that's not a good thing. You know what I mean? He writes, "You'll like this one. Tom Brady is so old." I do like this. I like when I get reaction to a take before I'm done with the take. So I'll give you that. All right, Vic. I'll bite. I'll slice. You'll like this one. Tom Brady is so old. When he was in high school, Ron and Nicole still had heads. Yeah, Vic.
Ron and Nicole were physically,
you know, it's
dead,
not old, Vic.
Like they killed me.
My thoughts on that. They're like 4 minutes old. Like, I don't know why. I always read this guy's stuff because he's from New York City. I've got kind of a bias. I'll admit it, all right? I try so hard to be objective. but I've got a certain bias to certain people from New York City where I'll read their stuff, and Jake is one of those guys. What do you got, Jake? Dear Jim, Tom Brady's first NFL game was the same week that Ritt collected his first Social Security check. See, that's what I mean, Jake. Like, for some reason, I like you, but not all your stuff.
Oh, crapola.
And I've never met you, Jake. I've never talked to you, but for some reason, I like you. I think it's New York City. All right, let's get out. Let's get out because I've been waiting on this. A conversation with Tennessee Titans tight end Anthony Firkser. That's coming up next. So I've got one question for you as I go to break. Why is Old Trapper beef jerky so exceptional? Well, let me start with the fact that it is produced by a family business. A family business which I've spoken with. I know them. And I know they stand by quality. And I know they produce the world's finest beef jerky. Not my opinion, but I'm going to say a fact. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper. You can actually see the quality that you're buying right through their iconic Clearview packages. This is why they do that. They want you to be able to see exactly what you're buying. And every bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they use the very best ingredients. From their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to that real wood-fired smoke. Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite, and it comes in four amazing flavors, so you have four amazing choices. You can go with a 4-ounce bag, or if you know exactly what you want, load it up with an 18-ouncer so there's enough for the entire team. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares Old Trapper with your beef.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Tell you what, as I get a little bit older, I've got this thing about time. Time kind of trips me out a little bit. I'm trying to slow everything down, except this week. I'm trying to spin the clock faster. I want to get to the divisional round, some great matchups. So why don't we talk about one of them? We are joined right now by a tight end for the Tennessee Titans. 4 receptions, 56 yards, and a TD in the regular season finale. 7 receptions, 80 yards, 2 TDs in the last 2 games. He was undrafted back in 2017 out of Harvard. Tennessee is the top seed in the AFC. And they're hosting Cincinnati, who's red hot, on Saturday. Saturday game, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, CBS. Anthony Firkser is my guest. Anthony, great to have you on the show. How are you?
Great. How's it going?
Good, good. Listen, because you guys have the best record in the AFC, obviously you get a bye, which comes along with that, while everybody else is grinding it out and running into each other. I'm kind of curious, how beautiful is it to rest, recover, and try to get right mentally and physically after a really demanding, challenging regular season?
Yeah, I think it definitely helps our team. I mean, yeah, especially after the extra game that's been added this season. Just getting guys healthy, getting guys recovered, and then improving on areas that we can take a step back and not worry about the week ahead and just take that time to recover, improve, and get ready for that next following week.
Yeah, you earned that week, and I got to imagine that week is great. So I mentioned off the very top, you scored touchdowns in back-to-back games. After dealing with a knee injury at the start of the year, do you feel like you're personally hitting your stride right now at just the right time?
Yeah, definitely. It's been good to get a little bit more involved in the offense. And, yeah, after the injury early on, just kind of took a little slow start. But yeah, just trying to fit in the role I can and find out where I can help this team.
Right, so what about that? When you talk about getting a little bit more involved in the offense, after the win over Houston, for instance, Ryan Tannehill was praising you and talking about the impact you've had over the past few games, especially over the middle. So at this point of the year, how would you describe the chemistry between you and Tannehill, and what has been the biggest difference late in the year between you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a multitude of things. I mean, they're definitely worried about AJ. Julio coming back out there, he's a threat. So, I mean, there's a lot of defenses keying on them. And, so just being able to protect, our offensive line is doing a great job protecting and holding up and giving Ryan more time to just find guys who are open and find guys down the field to convert third downs and keep the chains moving. That's kind of been just how it's been going recently.
Anthony Furkser is my guest. Now, you were one of the team's top-performing players in the offseason, which meant that you got rewarded with a parking space right next to Mike Vrabel's space. I'm curious. That's interesting, right? Like, that's an honor, and that's a good thing. But every day when the man pulls in, he's going to know whether or not you're there. So how did you approach that? Did you feel like you had to beat him to the facility?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little stressful knowing he knows exactly when I'm at the facility and when I'm gone. But, yeah, I mean, I try to keep to my routine and what's been working since I've been in Tennessee. So, yeah, just trying to show up as early as I can and recover and do what I can after the day's done.
All right, so Vrabel's never had a losing record as a head coach, and he leads the team to the playoffs for a third straight year, and you guys get the top seed. What is it that makes him maybe different, or what makes him such a good coach?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is he expects a lot of the players and demands a lot out of us. And he does a great job of getting the best out of everyone and everyone finding that role and finding where it is that they can help the team and embracing that. And, yeah, his expectations are just super high of every player, and I think he's able to get the most out of everyone on the field.
Anthony Furkser is my guest. Tennessee and Cincinnati coming up this weekend. You know, coming into the year, you were getting a lot of love from current and former teammates. Kevin Byard said that he's gone against Delanie Walker, Jonnu Smith, and he would put you right up there with them. It's really high praise. In fact, what's it mean to hear that praise?
Yeah, that's really, yeah, positive to hear that from him. I mean, he's been around the league a while, top safety to do it, and he's gone against a lot of guys, so saying that I'm comparable to some of those top guys that he's played against or been in our organization is definitely an honor, and I'm thankful for that.
I'm going to editorialize. I love Byard. I love the guy as a guy. I love the guy as a player. I think that's really high praise coming from him. Now, you played your college ball at Harvard. For those who do not know, who was in that tight end room at Harvard when you arrived, and then what did you learn from them?
Yeah, when I arrived, it was Cam Brate, Ben Broniker, Tyler Ott, who's a long snapper. I got there right after Juice Check left, but, I mean, he was on the film all the time, and we got to watch him and learn from him off the film. But, I mean, yeah, just a lot of guys who have had good careers in the NFL and have set great examples of expectations and standards.
You know, maybe, I don't know, you tell me, maybe you get tired of answering the question, but I don't get tired of asking. In fact, I'm fascinated by that. Harvard's not exactly a football factory, but there are a lot of former Harvard tight ends in the NFL. How do you explain that? What is that?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with the head coach, Coach Murphy. He does a great job recruiting tight ends. It's kind of his position. He's the position coach as well as the head coach. And he likes finding guys who are versatile, that are able to catch the ball, able to be physical and block guys and have a toughness factor. And, yeah, I think he's done a great job of finding those guys and grooming them and having that room is set such high standards and just keep building that year after year.
All right, so this has not been an easy thing, right? It's been a journey. Like, in your first year out of college, you had some time with the Jets and with Kansas City. In fact, what was that first season in the NFL like? What did you learn from that time?
Yeah, the first season was tough. I mean, I came out as a fullback, which is not necessarily my strong suit. I did a lot of receiving stuff at Harvard and in high school even. So, yeah, I struggled a little bit in that fullback position. And after I got released, being released from the Jets after preseason, I got signed with the Chiefs and was able to be in their tight end room. Be around Travis Kelce was definitely helpful, just hearing him, his mind, talk about the game and be in the same room as him definitely gave me some pointers and helping me at that next step. And, yeah, once I got an opportunity to be with the Titans, they gave me some receiving opportunities. I got to learn from Delanie Walker and just kept trying to take advantage of the opportunities I was given here.
I mean, one thing about Kelce, obviously he's going to see the game a certain way and he's going to have some valuable information, but it's one thing to hear the valuable information, but, I mean, can anybody really do what that guy can do regardless of what information he gives you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you have to, yeah, tailor it to my skill set, and, yeah, it's definitely different from his, just being his stature, his height, and quickness and change of direction stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I got to just hear, yeah, how he viewed the game, see him in film, and just use that to just kind of tailor it to my game and my play style.
You know, Anthony, you talk about skill set. I'm not going to say this is like the sexiest part of your game or anybody's game, but Mike Vrabel loves it. He was talking about after the Texans game that he was more focused on your blocking and that it's an area that you've worked on. I'm curious, when it comes to blocking, how much of it is technique and how much of it is just brute force and wanting to kick the guy's ass who is standing in front of you?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a combination. I mean, yeah, we're working on the technique, yeah, week after week. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of it is mentality and just having that mindset that, yeah, you're going to hit the guy harder than he's hitting you, and you're going to help your team, and I'm going to help the O-lineman not have to worry about one of these top edge rushers coming at them full speed. So I'm making sure I'm stopping their rush, making them restart. And that's been helpful for the O-line and helpful for Ryan to keep us moving the chains.
All right, so a couple of things before you go, and I appreciate the conversation. You've got the best record in the AFC, despite the fact that Derrick Henry has missed a chunk of games, and he's not the only one. And you have the number one seed. But despite that fact, it seems like there's a lot of attention on Buffalo and on Kansas City. What do you make of that? Are you going to go with the standard, we don't get caught up in that? Or do you see that, and are people sleeping on the Titans?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're not worried about the following week. I mean, we gotta win this game to advance. So we're dialed in Bengals and how well they've been doing on offense and on defense and getting turnovers. So we're focused on what we need to do this week and get that W.
So Derrick Henry was cleared to practice in pads. Did you get a good look? How did he look to you?
Yeah, it was good. Good to see him out there. Good to see him moving around. I mean, yeah, you know the threat he gives defenses when he's out there. So we're excited to hopefully have him back on the field and whatever he can give us.
Last thought, in your mind, what is the biggest key going into Saturday's game?
I think we just got to take care of the ball. I mean, we've seen how when we've had turnovers and gave our defense bad field position, it's been we've ended up with losses. So I think if we take care of the ball and give our defenses long fields,
I get it. Four receptions and a TD in the regular season finale. Seven receptions, two TDs in the last two games, and a great matchup at Tennessee. Bengals at Titans Saturday. Anthony Firkser, my guest. Anthony, appreciate it so much. Good luck this weekend. Great talking to you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good talking to you. That Harvard tight end room thing is really interesting. Lots of tight ends coming out of Harvard and making it to the league. That's interesting. And somewhat surprising. What is not as surprising is a player saying to me that it's going to come down to who takes care of the football. And that's not a shot at him, but is that not the answer? I could ask that question 5,000 more times of coaches and players and get 5,000 of the same answers. Hey, what's the key? Taking care of the ball. We seem to do better when we take care of the ball. We seem to win more games when we win the turnover battle. You know what the thing is? It's not even the guy answering the question. It's the guy asking the question. What kind of an answer do you think you're going to get, Rome? What's the key? Okay, let me break this down for you. Let me go to the grease board. No, whoever turns it over less is going to win. Pretty much. Somebody looked that up. Look at the number and go back. Give me a sample size of more than a week. Give me a sample size of 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Hey, Chalk, you're a nerd. You can do it. You're good with numbers. You're an Ivy Leaguer like him. Over the last 20 years, dude, you probably do that in your NFL preview every year anyway, right? And part of the reason you got that job, Chalk, was that famous NFL preview, draft preview you do, right? Okay. Over the last 20 years, what is the record of NFL teams in the regular and postseason that have won the turnover battle? I'm going to suggest it's 2048-0. Has a team ever lost a game where they won the turnover battle? I bet not in the history of the world. Still ahead. Top of the hour. Okay, so now we're 28 minutes out from Mark. The beef segment. It's an absolute blast. Yeah, she was not going to miss this week. Kathleen was not able to get in last week. She's already lined up. That's like somebody lining up for a tailgate 3 days before the game. And make sure you get your spot in line. All right, so really quickly, I don't care what your beef is. Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, highlight, horse racing, lacrosse, cricket, anything. Sports, any sport, non-sports, family, social. Life, work, family.
Family.
Anything. Anything is fair game. Start dialing right now, 1-800-636-8686. Start tweeting right now at Jim Rome, R-O-M-E. Start emailing right now, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. If you miss out today, you're going to have to wait another week. If, in fact, it's on the log next week. You never know. Hit us up with a beef. My thanks to Anthony Firkser. John Hines coming up at 40 past hour number 3. I'm getting in my thoughts on Joe Burrow. I am. I have to. I love this guy. Oh, really quickly. Great conversation with NFL Hall of Famer Steve Young. I had not touched base with him for a moment or two. I love getting caught up with guys that I haven't spoken to, and you can pick right up. And I'll tell you what else I love. I love guys that show up and they're into the conversation. They're not going through the motions. Somebody didn't make them do it. Steve Young showed up like a Hall of Famer. I had a blast talking to Steve Young. So look for that. That's episode 205 of the Jim Rome Podcast. We grind, yo. I'm not that guy that committed to a podcast and did five episodes and then quit. 205 and still going strong and still interviewing Hall of Famers. Long form. Look for that. That's coming up after the program. Time now for a sports update. Here is the latest on a Wednesday. Here is a legend, Rich Ackerman.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It is divisional round, the weekend on CBS, and it's presented by Intuit TurboTax Live. It gets underway Saturday at 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific. Joe Burrow and the Red Hot Bengals head to the aforementioned Tennessee Titans for a battle with the top seeds. Then Sunday, 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific, highly anticipated rematch of the ages. Josh Allen in the seemingly unstoppable Bills offense take on the equally unstoppable Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Get set for both games with the NFL today. The NFL divisional round presented by Intuit TurboTax Live this weekend only on CBS. So I did charge chalk with the task of finding out, give me a stat. How often does the team that wins the turnover battle win the game? And I said, my guess would be they've never lost the game, ever. So Chalk uncovered this during the break. From 2015 to 2019, teams that won the turnover battle won 76.8% of the time. He goes on. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to stop right there. I did a study. One, I'll keep that going. Because I'm going to talk about that. I did a personal study. 100% of the times I heard that song, it ruled. He found something else for me. A 2014 study by Harvard found that between 2002 and 2013, the team that won the turnover battle won 69.6% of the time. All right, so you have a Harvard study. And what's the first study from 2015 to 2019? An article on Sportsline. Two extremely credible sources, Harvard and Sportsline. I'm going to go ahead and call bullcrap on both. Do you know why? Because I know for a fact, empirically, I've done my own research, every game in the history of the world played on every level from Pee Wee to the NFL dating back 8,000 years. The team that has won the turnover battle has won the game. It's undefeated. Like Father Time is undefeated, like sex is undefeated.
Period.
The turnover battle is undefeated, so I do not accept those studies. As credible as those sources are. My own opinion. Hey, James Kelly. I guess I haven't been mentioning him enough. When I read that number, between 2015 and 2019, teams that won the turnover battle won 76.8% of the time. He chimed in with, and I quote, or my cover rate roughly. Big-headed jerk. Could you be more arrogant? Let me tell you something, Head. You're good. Dude, you are not 77% good. I don't know that anybody is, but I know you're not. Come on, man. Boy, this dude's feeling awfully good about himself coming off a 5-1 weekend. I mean, you should, but come on. Dude, you know how humbling this game is. You know that as well as you do one weekend, you'll get punched in the face the next. It will come back and bite you in the ass, especially when you run your mouth like that. You should know better, head. Normally, I love guys that are boastful, that can back it up. I just don't know that you can back it up. We'll find out on Friday. He's like, in other words, my cover rate. You know, because of that, I have a strong urge to fade your ass right now. We'll find out on Friday. Really quickly, Romy, TB44. You know, this is the worst. Like I keep saying, I'm going to talk to Joe Burrow. And Bengal fan keeps saying, when, Rome, when? And I keep saying, next segment. And I keep getting hot, caught up. Hey, Rome, TB44 is really old. Signed, Alvin has a lot of kids. Right.
Dude, no.
It's just annoying. Like, SportsCenter went with that graphic and the emojis and... This is not cool or fresh or new or funny or reactionary. Yeah, he's old. He's been old. People telling us that Tom Brady is older than coaches. You want to impress me, Rome? Let me know when Tom is older than NFL owners. Yeah, right. When he's older than Bob Kraft, tweet that. But until then, stop. That guy's got a good point. PCB361 on Twitter. Jim, Tom Brady is so old. When he was born, the Dead Sea was just sick. Good one, Burnt. Alessandro Brunelli. Hey, Jim, Tom Brady is so old. When he wants the best beef jerky, he just asks for Trapper. I see what you did there. Not old Trapper, just Trapper. That's actually pretty clever. Worked in a little client pop. It was somewhat amusing. I like that. I will allow that. He
you
promoted
like that?
The next segment.
I like that.
The beef segment. Phone lines popping. That looks like a bleeping Christmas tree. One phone line still open. 1-800-636-8686. Speaking of Nashville, I'm not rooting for anything other than me not getting hypothermia again. Part of me is rooting for Nashville. But that aside, Nashville Predators head coach John Hines at 11:40. All these phone calls are beefs. So while the city of the Natty is celebrating their first playoff win in 31 years, the face of the franchise is not. Yo, Joe Burrow didn't even celebrate much Saturday night after the ice job of the Raiders was complete, other than to show up wearing some absolutely legendary sunglasses to his presser. The Yes Joe. Those were definitely cool. Cool as hell.
Is there a significance to the glasses?
Oh, no. I just think they're pretty cool. What do you think?
Cool as hell. Cool as hell. Everything about this guy is. You see, Joe's not doing the icky shuffle, and I used to love that back in the day. He's not doing some barroom bounce like a lot of the Natty, because unlike you Bengal fans, and nothing against you Bengal fan, I get it. Winning at a high level, though, is not new for Joe Cool. This is what this guy does. It's who he is. Now, make no mistake, Joe and me, we're not hating on the fan base for its excitement. He just sees success as the new standard operating procedure around that town, but he's already known it for his entire life. The guy's been a winner his entire life. He said yesterday, the bar for the Bengals has been raised.
Yeah, I think the fans were very excited, but you know, I try to downplay it and all that because this is, you know, this is how it's going to be from here on out. You know, this is a great win for us, but you know, this is the standard for, you know, the bare minimum every year going forward.
I mean, could this dude have said anything more bold, but been more a matter of fact about it? I mean, that wasn't like some arrogance or cockiness or bravado. He just said that very a matter of fact. This is the way it's going to be going forward. This is the bar. So you can call the guy cocky. You can call the guy arrogant. You can call this guy whatever you want. You know what I'm going to call him? Prepared. prepared, confident, ready. I see that, and what I see is not a cockiness or an arrogance. I see it. And this guy's got the game to back it the hell up. He finished the wild card game with a pair of TDs and his regular season on a historic note. He also said his mentality in facing the Raiders really was not that much different than their games in December when he was locked in. Quote, I think I've just played in a lot of big games throughout my career, whether it's this season. I mean, every game in the last half of the season was a playoff game or the games playing in the college football playoffs and the championship. I think I've been in that situation before. End of quote. I'm telling you, this dude's swagger, his moxie, they're off the charts. You can't hate that guy for that. I mean, I don't find that off-putting at all. Hell, more people should have more of that. But of course, more people can't do the things that he can with a football or his brain. I mean, truth is, he's got a really good point about the moment not being too big for him because that moment is not that unusual for him. Every perceived big game that this dude has played in, he has pretty much shown the hell out. He did it at LSU and the Bengals this season when they were 7-6 after that overtime loss to San Francisco in Week 14. He's done nothing but ball out since. His final two games of the regular season, one against divisional rival Baltimore, the other against conference power KC, and the guy passed. Perform? The guy passed for nearly 1,000 yards in two critical games. Four TD passes in each game. He has not thrown a pick since early December. In other words, the higher the stakes, the bigger the stage, the cooler this guy gets. Honestly, Bengal fan, I believe he's right. I believe he's right in this case. I think there is going to be a standard moving forward. And if is a big if. If he can stay healthy and behind center, he's going to make good on that. Now, the line could not keep this guy upright his entire rookie season. He was the most sacked quarterback in the NFL this season. 51 times he got brought down is not a good way to follow up a year where he got his knee shredded. You got to keep the guy upright. Keep this guy upright and amazing things will continue to happen. All right. Speaking of amazing, the beef segment's coming up next. What is your beef? We will have that next. Don't go anywhere.